But I still don't think the world's changed enough where when you have multiple decision makers and people involved trying to make possibly even career-ending decisions, I think there's still a more of a solution-based walk through the process. I don't see that completely going away, even if we live in a virtual world.
Okay, now for a small aside. Yes, we will be talking about forecasting. This is a conversation that we had before we got into everything as we were discussing our model, and our guest dropped some really cool insights that I couldn't edit out. So this is a quick little dialogue we had before we get into the actual forecasting part of the conversation.
But if you don't take the time to walk them through it and coach them how to buy it, then someone else is. And that's, I still believe in that, but I come from more of a solution-based process, kind of where our technology is. But I totally agree with what you're talking about, is that now more than ever, they're well-informed before in the past, you had to really educate them.
And if it comes down to a decision, if I'm buying TVs and I've got three different choices and they all are really close and they're all, you know, almost indistinguishable from the consumer's eyes, sometimes it takes a sales rep or something to point something out. They go, oh yeah, I hadn't noticed that, just to sway the decision.
Right. Now more than ever, AI, this whole word, it scares everybody. I heard Mark even talking the other day. He was like, whoever comes to me with AI better know what they're talking about. AI and the way people behave now more than ever is going to be important to companies and to making decisions on how they market their product and so forth. And that's kind of where we come in and talk about that with our technology.
And that's why one of our sponsors is Mobile Coach. And okay. Mobile Coach is all about that. You know, a chatbot ability to be able to answer some of those questions on the fly and just provide people with more information. So yeah, couldn't agree with you more. AI, terrifying, because it's just unknown.
Talking about what we've done and just controlling that AI, like Salesforce has the ability to extract information and make good choices with it. It's called Einstein Analytics. Have you guys ever heard of that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So they have that ability. But the problem with that is that, first off, the front end of that is salespeople are all different, right? I mean, we're all built to be a certain way and sell a certain way. I mean, we're coached to it, but we all have our own little way of doing it. And we all have to then be responsible for entering data into Salesforce. Unfortunately, because everything's subjective with the way people make forecasts, they analyze and try to give the company the best advice where they think it is, not based off realistic data points of where the company thinks it is.
And that's a great point.
That's the problem that Salesforce faces and CRMs face, is people are entering subjective information. And the second piece is only like 40% of all activity is entered in CRM systems, because the salespeople don't want to come at the end of the week and enter information in the Salesforce. It's just a tedious activity. And that's why it's difficult to get good data in and then extract good AI.
Right.
On today's episode of the Selling Podcast, we bring in a forecasting expert. And that's largely because the majority of my forecasts are always incorrect. So today, we're going to learn how to do it correctly. It's all about the Business Forecast Management System. This system was built on a Salesforce platform. SmartFox Prime is an app for sales executives. It helps predict future outcomes based on rules, past events, and management insight.
All right, we're recording.
With over 50 years and millions of worldwide traveled miles between the two of us, we have tasted defeat and relished in sweet, sweet victory. Looking for inspirational entertainment, motivation, and practical insights to drive your business? Welcome to The Selling Podcast. On this week's episode of The Selling Podcast, we welcome the president and founder of SmartFox Technologies. SmartFox Technologies has won several awards, including the most recent Salesforce Innovator Partner Award of 2020, NC Tech 2020 Startup Showcase Award, and they were nominated in 2019 for Salesforce Techno Jam Award. Now, we're talking to somebody who potentially has actually pet a wild fox, and hence we get the name SmartFox. We welcome the president and founder, Phil Everhart. Phil, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
Is it true you actually pet a fox?
Yes. So, you know, my journey is the fact that I stopped my last career. We sold the company. I was thinking about doing this. And then all of a sudden, we just came up with a name with my family. This would be a cool name, Dad. I gave him some choices because I really wanted it to pop. And then all of a sudden, about a week later, these foxes start showing up at our house. And we're just hanging out. Like, and then my daughter's like, let's feed him some dog treats. Maybe they'll eat them. Kept coming back like periodically. And it just, it kind of was just a good sign of like, hey man, like you need to do this. Like you can help the world possibly. So it was kind of weird. I mean, you could walk up to someone, they would just let you pet them. It was just the weirdest thing.
That's incredible. Awesome. Phil, I do, once again, thanks so much for joining the program. I do want to set this up that just for a couple, before you start talking a little bit about what the company does, our listeners have requested through the comments, they want actual solutions, technologies that can actually help them in today's world. And that's why we started our conversation also talking about a potential new sales model and how forecasting plays in there, because forecasting is awkward and it's always been wrong when I've done it. Mm-hmm. And that's when getting in contact with you, there's a better way to do it. Now, before we dig in too far and before we lose some of our listeners, what we're going to be talking about, SmartFox Technologies, business forecast management system that's primarily for Salesforce right now. Now, with that being stated, stick around because as you're going to hear Phil and he talks about his vision and where things are going, it's just a matter of time before you see SmartFox Technologies taking over the forecasting world. Am I wrong, Phil?
That's the goal. I love it. Let's ride that ride all day long. So yeah, that's an excellent intro, and definitely our goal is to first tackle the big one, Salesforce, and partner with them, but also protect our technology and trademark it so it can be applied to other industry CRMs.
So why are forecasts historically wrong?
Or difficult? Some of them are pretty good, but why are they difficult for everybody to engage?
Well, obviously, if anyone's ever experienced taking a forecast to a board and getting it thrown back in your face, it's not a fun thing. It's a very difficult thing to get everybody on the same cadence and get everybody on the same plan and methodology. Salesforce believes in giving you the tools to create that forecast methodology, but they don't want to tell you how to do it. They don't want to be responsible for your number at the end of the day. So where we come in and what we provide is technology that allows the company to get everybody on the same page and on the same cadence and base things based off accomplishments and milestones. So that's kind of how we change the game.
We talked a little bit about the subjective nature of data that you're putting into a CRM system. Mm-hmm. Talk to me a little bit about the difference in the way that we look at it, whether it's a management looking at a CRM and the pipeline forecast versus a representative looking at the pipeline and forecast. How do they see it different and how are the numbers different?
Yeah, so sales reps take it as this is what my job and this is what the company's asking me to do, and I'm going to be either rewarded or penalized for it. The opposite, sales managers kind of look at it as like how to protect the company to ensure that it's successful. You know, like their job is to make sure that the team's all coming together and forecasting correctly. And that's a difficult thing. And that's where the pain of all this starts, with the sales rep having to do the task that they don't want to do. And then the sales manager not getting the right data into CRM or whatever to make the forecast. So that's why you see such a problem on both ends.
And how does that translate to upper management? Like you said, and you present it to the board and get it thrown back in your face. What is it that the board is looking at that this sales rep doesn't see?
So the board is basically looking at, how are we going to keep our investment? How are we going to hire new employees? How are we going to make the company grow through these forecasts that are sent to us? And how accurate are they? And they have no confidence in them. There's a study that I'm sure Scott saw that some inside sales has studied, like on 270,000 plus one revenue opportunities in the CRM. And they found outside of 90 days that 72% of them were wrong. And within 90 days, 47% of them were wrong up to closure. That's a huge problem that's just out there, that there's no, the people at the board level have not a lot of confidence in forecasting with any company. And that's where we try to correct that and show over time you can learn from your forecast with our tool.
So I guess this is where I start feeling bad that, yeah, I feel bad that my forecast is always off. However, with that stat, I'm just like everybody else.
You're normal.
but the problem is it's a bad normal. It's not the normal I want to be. And Phil, in one of your most recent articles, you spoke about three main points: structure, accountability, accuracy, equaling results. From what we're talking about this first part, it sounds like the rep side, we're looking a lot on accuracy, which also helps the execs. If we can just take this all the way from the very beginning of proper forecasting, I don't know that everybody's doing it correctly. And if you don't do it correctly from the start, you're going to get bad numbers in the end. So when execs are putting together this structured forecast, which is the first part of the three-prong system here, how is there a better way to do it? Have you seen executives who have been successful, and then any stories or execs just making up numbers and it's terribly wrong?
Well, first off, I would say, God, that's a good one. I would say that the big deal for me is that past experience repeats itself in some way or form. So if you're able, and I have this question asked to me all the time, hey, we're a startup, we don't know our sales process. Well, do you know your competition yet? And most say, yeah. So how are they successful? Figure that out and then make your sales process like that, you know?
What's the proper way to build that forecast? So using past experience to create future results.
Yeah. And I'll talk a little bit about the methodology that we use. So to build the right structure, you have to have a good CRM system, and you have to be committed to that CRM system. And that brings structure. And through people who use our innovative technology, we can go back in time and look how we can repeat success. And management insight is a big piece of that. So if we know that in this stage of a sales cycle that the company has been successful when we've completed these 10 items in this stage, then we can predict what the future forecast is, meaning we can weigh the probability of what that may be. For example, if let's say we're at the beginning, the prospecting stage, the sales cycle, and if we build the right structure in there and we build the right milestones to be accomplished, if we say that that's a 20 to 30% probability, well, if the sales rep's done everything I've asked them to do, it's pretty obvious that I can go to my board and say we're at 30% odds because they've accomplished what we want them to do. Second piece of that, as that starts to happen and we're asking everybody the same questions, then it starts to bring cadence and consistency, accountability. Everybody's on the same page, and we can kind of start to do things like nudge people through it, like nudging the sales rep to success. Hey, you're 75% there. Keep it going. Nice email from the CEO once they hit 80%. That's where the accountability starts to even change to profitability because increased accuracy, right? So those are all natural things that happen when you put in a structure that everybody's on the same page and on the same cadence in. And so that's kind of what the whole logic of it is. Putting the right structure in forces accountability, and accountability brings accuracy over time, which equals results.
And I saw that on your website and I chuckled and I said, oh yeah, sure. You know, that it sounds good. And then I heard you say, forecasting is often based off of emotion. And when I'm as a sales rep, that what you're just saying right there, which is that consistency when everybody's entering the data the same way and it's properly communicated on what you're putting in. And once again, you have a great technology that allows you to adapt those metrics based off of performance and past performance. I think that's amazing. When we look at that forecasting as a sales rep, when I go into my CRM, end of the year, my forecasts, my potential forecasting always is up.
Right.
Because I'm looking for next year. It's huge potential. It's massive. About the middle of the year during the summer lull, my forecast is going down just because it's summertime. I'm not feeling it, not able to see that many people. And so it is totally based when I'm putting into my CRM probabilities to close, it's all over based on how I'm feeling, which your system, from my understanding, eliminates most of that.
Yes, it does. So knowing you can't take away two things. You got to give once the calculations are made and we're showing, okay, based off of what you're doing, performing, here's where you're at. still you got to give the chance of the sales rep to weigh in. Like they still have to give a little bit of advice to the company. And that's where you can create another layer of probability. And you can configure it based off of like, if they say maybe, maybe we put that at 50% probability, or maybe we start to change that to 60%. So over time, as this, these data points come out and you learn how to evolve with it, you're going to be able to change things on the front end to make it correct. So that's where the beauty of all this is that everybody's on the same page, you remove subjectivity, and we know that we can make corrections if things are wrong on the front end to be able to be more successful in the future. And it just, it immediately takes away the guessing of everything.
Phil, as a professional forecaster, if I may, looking at you for advice.
Professional forecaster.
There are several reps that I've had where some reps, I know that they're going to crush their number and they're sandbagging their forecast. And so I want to adjust their forecast. Some, I know that they're just not as good as others. And so I'm going to try to push them to their limits, but I'm not going to forecast them the same as one of my heavy hitters. Are you in agreeance with that? Or are you in the thought process of, hey, listen, let's just keep it standard across the board and make sure that everybody drives to the same number. We're not playing favoritisms here.
I certainly believe that you have to first off, make sure somebody said, how do you catch your people if they're lying? I'm like, well, first off, they're lying. I'm not going to keep them employed.
So true.
But I would say with what you said, yeah. So you lay the expectations out for everybody, right? And the guy that is the shark, who's like, really, they're going to be one that want to win that behavior award. Like they're going to want to be at the top and see how they're better than everybody. But the opposite occurs on the other end. And one problem that's huge is that, and you probably face this, is that let's say I'm a new sales rep to a company. I may not know what the expectations of the company is. And I don't want to bother my sales manager to tell them that I don't know. So they're not willing to call you up and ask you. Most of them aren't. They hesitate that. Mm-hmm. So it removes those weak people and coaches them up to be more successful. So you can't take away all different types of sales reps. It's just the form of way you can coach them through without having to spend all your office hours reaching people and trying to coach them through everything. Because now they can see it. Now they know. And that kind of starts to change. The behavioral patterns of people start to change. And that's where you see less of what you're talking about because now everybody's on the same page.
So let me ask you this then. Do you have a tip that would allow the sales force to completely adopt the CRM system, to be completely engaged, to adopt the objectivity and adopt a process that will get them to the goal, that will help the forecast?
Well, you have to incentivize them, right? I mean, you have to give them what they want. And what every sales rep is different. And you as a sales manager should start to learn that. They're incentivized by money. Then we'll incentivize them as they do well with this. If they're incentivized by recognition. And this all has to do with just the behavior and way people think and how they by design are. So what I would say when someone implements our system, we totally tell them to find success in their company. How are you successful? Repeat that. And then from there, start to figure out how to incentivize your team to use the product. First off, you're removing a huge burden of them, like having to guess. There's no more guessing anymore. All we're asking you is to weigh in. So that's a huge problem that sales reps hate forecasting, just like we forecast. So we're removing that, which that is kind of some of the advice that we give to companies. It's just when you're setting this all up, and obviously we give trials and all that so they can do it. But, test it out first. Start to learn your employees. See what your sales reps are sharks and which ones you want working at your company. And then reward them over time for their successes and coach them through their failures. You're still going to have to do that.
Okay. So earlier we talked a little bit about objective versus subjective input into a CRM.
Right.
What do you have? Do you have a tip for that? How do you get your sales rep to be more objective in their input?
Well, I would say.
Is it based in process and understanding the process?
Yeah. Yep. Educating them on the expectations the company has laid out. That's building your structure, right? Making sure everybody agrees to that, right? Mm-hmm. You agree that we've given you all the tools that you need to be successful at your job in forecasting. or in CRM. Get them all to agree to that, because that's acknowledgement that you can always come back to as a sales manager and ensure that we're all on the same page. So it every, you know, and the word that I try to stay away from is change. Like I didn't coach through it, because every sales rep and every painful. It's painful, right? So I try to use words like improve, you know, just things of that nature that just make people realize that what we're doing is we're giving them the sales rep an easy to use tool. Like we're going to make their job way easier if you use this. And that's basically what happens.
That's nice. Because every sales rep is thinking, what's in it for me? So exactly. We can streamline your workload, make the process simpler, easier to follow through, and improve your forecasting. It's a win for everybody.
It is. And reward them. And I learned this from watching one of my kids doing this quizzes test on math. They asked me to help them. And the whole time it was showing them how they were performing with their other classmates. And it was giving them rewards for getting things right. And it made you like want to do well, right? Just naturally mm-hmm. makes you want to do well. Like if you're getting a nice email from the CEO saying, hey, great, great quarter, man. Way to go. And so those are things that people just hang on to these days. And it's, I think it's bigger than ever, just the way we start to think and how everything's so digital. So that's how I kind of got some of these ideas too with SmartBox, just by learning from a simple quiz of a sixth grader. So if they're doing it at that level, why can't we do it at the sales rep level? You know, why can't we do that?
Phil, if we didn't do forecasting, what would happen? What are the ramifications for somebody not doing forecasting correctly? Besides missing numbers, what does it affect?
Well, if you don't learn how to forecast, you can't predict future outcomes. And that is the reality of it. If you want to play this day and era, which I think is more competitive than ever since we're all online, especially with technology, you're going to be at the end of the pack. And I think y'all believe in that. I think I believe in that. And I think that what's nice is we have history. History repeats itself. And sales reps that are good repeat themselves, right? Mm-hmm. All this is repeatable data that's out there that just needs to be organized and structured and pushed forward. And so I certainly believe that forecasting aren't going away. The reason why I know that is Wall Street looks at measures a company on how successful they're going to be based off of how they hit or miss their forecast. And it's out there. And that to me means if it's important to them, it should be important to every company.
During COVID is when you started the SmartFox Technologies portion of the business that's right. incorporated into Salesforce. A very difficult time to start a company, a very difficult time to start a forecasting company. What are some of the things that you're currently hearing from companies about, whether it's hesitation to purchase, whether it's the need for this type of forecasting, especially during this environment?
Well, it was definitely difficult to be able to start a business. And I know, I've seen a lot of people who had businesses that were either technology consulting that are now out of business that I was talking to during the process. So I think that if you can make your technology show people that, first off, it can make them money, that's huge. More money than they would spend if they invest in your platform. It can better your company and better the culture of your company. It can help ensure future employees are going to have jobs. Those are points that every CFO, CEO cares about. So if your technology doesn't really hit on things that people that are money related in business, then they're not going to buy your product. And if they do, I don't know if they're going to expand that platform or see the results of it. You know, what are invest in it long enough to see the result of them.
And especially during this time, I mean, if you're not forecasting correctly now, your company is going to spiral in the expenses. It's going to get out of control. You're not going to know the direction you're headed. The misappropriation of where the funds are supposed to be going to help continue and drive business at this time. If you're not forecasting correctly during COVID, the chances of being around after COVID are small unless you go in with massive cash into COVID.
Yeah. And now we're asking new questions, right? Now COVID, like, oh my gosh, it's changed the sales process. Like, we can't go on site and do a demonstration anymore. We have to do it virtual. We have to do best and final to 30 people virtual. It's changed. So the questions are all changing, right? The milestones, how the customer's buying, like you guys talked about, it's all changing, but you've got to evolve and be able to be willing to change while it evolves. So you nailed it. If you're not forecasting, then, you know, this is the time to really nail down and forecast. Like back in the day, a year ago or so, it was okay if we missed the forecast. It wasn't as big of a deal. Nowadays, it's more important than ever. So to me personally, what I'm hearing from companies, even some of the companies like IBM, they're evaluating our system. What an honor to present to them first off. But just those type of companies are seeing the effects of it because they're losing a lot of employees.
You're saying past experiences repeat themselves, and we're basing a lot of forecasting on previous experiences. In the COVID world, we haven't had these experiences. So how do you project forward based on past experiences if we're living in a year where we haven't dealt with this before? It seems like it's just the bad time to forecast.
So the way to change that up is knowing that you control the probability percentages, right? You're a company leader and you're an admin, you control, and you should have confidence in what you want your probabilities to be for forecasting. If you feel that something's a little bit off, let's change the probability. Let's make it where it gives us a better opportunity to ensure we hit our forecast. Let that all can be done on the front end and controlled if you do it right. So you're right. Like that has to do a lot too with things like just, oh, the ultimate decision maker got in a car wreck and now we don't know what they're going to do. We lost the sale. Like what? There's ways to protect yourself and that's where the sales reps got to weigh in. They've got to be responsible for at least weighing in to help the company because we've laid out what we think, but you've got to help us. And that's where you can control what you're talking about, the doubt and uncertainty during a time like this that we've never experienced.
Is there a way for you to guarantee a return on investment for your add-on to Salesforce? I know as a CEO, I know what I'm spending for Salesforce. Is there a way to gauge a return on the investment for SmartFox Technologies?
Most definitely. That is a huge part of our selling process because when they start to correct all this, it really shows what missed revenue forecast was. Okay, so we see ranges from 10% to 30%. Within the first 6 months of them correcting everything. Because if you're like what they described in that inside sales study is 72% outside, and if you can bring that down to just improving forecast revenue by 10%, that is huge. And we've seen it go 30 plus, but I, for these purposes, I always say 10 to 30% is what you'll experience. But it's all about how you implement and how you enforce it. So if you don't enforce it, if you implement this and you don't force it and make everybody accountable, then it's not going to be successful. But those are the true ROIs. We've got data points everywhere that can show that. But that is just really because so many people's forecasts are so messed up and it immediately corrects it. It's a cool thing to see.
They're messed up because they have Scott, the professional forecaster, working on them. Or they're leaving it up to me as a sales rep to enter it into the CRM system, and I have no clue what I'm doing there.
Well, we help you there because all we're asking you to do is check a box. Just check these boxes.
Perfect.
You don't have to enter data. Just check.
Phil, how do you reconcile the execs saying we need to get to this number to grow and the reps being passed the information, the forecast, essentially, by the managers, and the reps just say, we just can't do it? What's that reconciliation look like? I'm sure that happens all the time.
Yeah, it does. That's a common thing. And that's where the ability, what I would say is that the ability to make changes on the front end to accommodate that is where the management team really needs to listen to their sales reps. And they also need to make sure that they have got a way to nudge them. I'm going to have an article out called Nudging. And nudging can be done biased or non-biased, but it can also be done in a forceful way, which is pretty cool. So there's just different things that are about nudging that really affects what you're talking about. Where someone may say, oh, there's just no way we can hit that. There's no way. Well, maybe we can nudge them over time and take care of that probability, knowing that that's something that as a management team, we're going to really have to do if they're saying that, right? So I don't think that problem's ever going to go away because sales reps sandbag. They naturally think like that. When they get their new quota, they're like, what the heck? There's no way that we can accomplish this. I've heard it every single company I've been into. But now if you can control it, nudge them through it, create behavioral patterns, then it gives them and reward them for reaching those things. And then you have a plan and you can get through what you're talking about. So that's my view of it. So that's kind of what's helped me using this type of platform or methodology.
That's spectacular. I'm a believer.
Spectacular. If you want to get a hold of Phil Everhart with Smart Fox Technologies, you can reach him at his email at phil.everhart@smartfoxtechnologies.com. He is also very active in LinkedIn.
So I'll put you on the spot here, Phil.
All right.
If by chance one of the viewers wants to a demonstration or to try Smart Fox and they're using Salesforce, what can we offer them?
It's very simple. Salesforce has something called Salesforce App Exchange that anybody who uses Salesforce can download our platform. Our platform is hands-off implementation, so they can just install it by themselves. They can try a free trial.
They're not going to get on a mailing list?
Nope. So we want it to be hands-off. I am confident in our world with technology, it's going to go to hands-off approach.
Right.
And I see so many people talking about that. So we want to ensure that it's easy for them to actually try it. And they can pay for it on a monthly basis as a SaaS model. It's very affordable too. We didn't outprice the market. So I think that we would love to have them if they go to Salesforce App Exchange and try it.
Awesome. Phil, if somebody's currently using HubSpot or another CRM, is there a best forecast of when they'll have the opportunity to use this type of technology?
Yeah. So we know what the next players are in the market. HubSpot is obviously a good one. Microsoft Dynamics and NetSuite by Oracle hold the market share after that. So they have platforms that we can develop in. So that would be our goal probably in the order to follow them because they have the next amount of customers. But yeah, we are definitely not just Salesforce product platform. They've been a great partner, but we're open to trying and implementing our solution other platforms and hope that happens. That'd be great.
What's the average size of the Salesforce that you're working with now?
So most of the customers that we deal with are organizations that have larger sales teams. That's where the disorganization and people aren't all on the same page, right? So
I don't know. Scott and I are pretty disorganized. And there's only two of us.
The ones that are the most attractive are ones that have about 500 or plus employees. And that's where the fixing issues is where it needs to happen. Although we have some small people that come to us that have just a small sales team and they're ready, they haven't been forecasting. And I'm like, well, this is a great time. If you're implementing Salesforce or wherever you are, there's new management change. It's a great time to implement something like this. But that's where really the most of my presentations get pushed to, even though it ends up being a little bit longer of a sales process.
Very cool.
Once again, you can reach Phil at phil.everhart@smartfoxtechnologies.com or look him up at LinkedIn, Philip Everhart. Phil, thanks so much for taking the time with us today. We really appreciate it. If you want to get a hold of Phil Everhart with fart...
That's staying in.
You're so good, and I'm letting you down.
We're professionals, remember?
It's a great conversation. We'd love to come back on your podcast at any time. Just let me know, and we can talk about different subjects because we can talk about foxes or farts or whatever you want to talk about.
I'm so embarrassed.
I'm good. I don't care.
Thank you again. Really appreciate it. You have a great day.
All right. Take care.
See you. Bye-bye.
We're bad at forecasting and self-promotion.
And speaking, apparently.